according to John chapter 14. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. It were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you for ever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me. Because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, If a man love me, he will keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not, keepeth not my saying. And the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You have heard how I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I said, I go unto the Father. For my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it is come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. Dear Lord, we pray that thou wilt help us as we attempt to approach thee and see, gracious God, that inditing of thy Spirit of prayer in our heart, we may be enabled to approach thee rightly and seek thy face. Thou would come and draw near to us and bless us with that comfort of the Holy Spirit which we have read in thy holy word. That rich blessing which thou didst promise in thy church and amongst thy people, even the comfort of the Spirit, precious drawing influence of the Father, and the love of Christ made known in our hearts. And Lord, we pray for faith, that we may be enabled to anchor in thyself, Lord Jesus Christ, in the reality of it, and find that blessed rest in thyself. And that thou would draw near to us and grant us those sacred, divine, eternal blessings and benefits which are thine to give. That thou wouldst lift us up in faith to heaven this night to thyself. And that, gracious God, under thy help, thy divine presence, thy teaching, thy strength, we may be enabled to leave all our cares in thy hand, that we may be delivered out of our darkness and the death that we feel within, and that our heart and affections might be centered upon thyself, and that we might being able to run our race with patience, looking unto Jesus, its author and its finisher. For thou knowest the needs, those who gather, the desires of each heart, the exercises, the temptation, the cares, the solemn convictions of the soul, the sin that is known and felt, the sins which do so easily beset us, the sins of thought, word and deed. O gracious God, as we come into thy earthly court, how we know this day we need that fountain of thy precious blood to wash away every sin. And Lord, we need thee to draw near to us. We are double-dyed sinners, sins against light and knowledge are ours. And oh, how we desire that thou wouldst come and abide with us and give us grace to walk in thy holy commandments, that we may be delivered from ourselves, which is our worst enemy, a heart that is full of sin and darkness and evil and unbelief and death and carnality and filth and vileness. Thou seest it altogether, and thou dost give us reason to know the deep inward corruptions of heart and body and soul. But O gracious God, we would draw near to thee and seek that fountain that thou didst open for sin and uncleanness. And we pray, Lord, that thou wouldst wash us and plunge us in that crimson ocean and grant us godly sorrow and repentance. Oh, be to us all we stand in need of, for Lord, we can do nothing for ourselves and of ourselves. But oh, we need that spiritual help, that divine strength, that grace. And we pray thou wouldst come and lift us out of the mire of corruption this night that is within, and draw near to us, and come, Holy Spirit of truth, and lead us in that way everlasting. Deliver us from a form of words, from an outward orthodoxy, from being satisfied with anything short, gracious God, of a visit to our soul from thyself. We pray for that precious power and life that thou would stoop down into the hearts of those who have gathered and come and grant some sweetness, some strength, some divine encouragement, some gracious comfort, some life and power, some living hope and faith in thyself, Lord Jesus Christ, for thou speaking one word into the souls of thy dear people are able in a moment, in a second of time, to lift them out of their darkness, their weariness, their unbelief, and to raise them up to a hope in thy mercy. We pray thou would speak this night. Thou seest those who are gathered, and gracious God, we pray that thou would lead us into their cases. Thou who alone art able to lead thy servants and direct them. They who shoot a bow at a venture, but thou who dost direct it into the heart to soften hard hearts and melt them down, to grant a crumb of mercy, a ray of hope, little sacred lifting up. And we pray Thou would grant such lift in the heart of Thy people. The realities of true religion, may they be known in their experimental nature. The sweet comforts of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, may we know the divine truth, or may it be taught us in our heart. And may we be kept, gracious God, from unbelief and many solemn doubts and fears and temptations. Graciously give us strength in the preaching of Thy Holy Word, Lord, this night. Give us wisdom. Give us the anointing of Thy Holy Spirit. And all may Thy blessed work of salvation be carried on in the hearts of those who are gathered. May there be a building upon the good foundation, building of Thine own workmanship, that which will stand the storms of life's pathway and be found to endure unto the end. All come in our hearts and pathways, Thou knowest our weakness, Lord, that is within, our need of more faith, more strength, more grace. O come and grant it to us. Thou seest, Lord, that Thine is a very low state. You come to Thy house. Lord, we pray for this congregation and people that gather here from time to time. Dear Lord, we seek that Thy blessed work may be carried on in their hearts, be with one who bears the burden and responsibility of the cause here. O grant, gracious God, that there may yet be a godly increase. Thou hast favoured this corner of Thy vineyard over the generations. Thou hast had a people here, and Lord, it has been a favoured spot, and there have been those who have been sweetly blessed and taught over the years by Thy servants who are now with Thee in glory, congregation and minister. And we follow on in the same solemn pathway, time being limited with each one of us, according to Thy sovereign will. And Lord, we pray for the same reality and foundation that the godly knew here. Oh, may it be ours. May we tread that pathway that they trod, that straight and narrow way which leads to life. May we be kept, gracious God, from any and every subtle and false way. Satan goeth about as an angel of light, seeking whom he may devour and deceive. And we pray, dear Lord, Thou grant us wisdom, understanding, teaching. O lead us in the right way and keep us from forbidden paths. Keep us from paths of self-deception. And O grant us, gracious God, that which will stand the great fire of death and the solemn meeting of Thyself face to face. Leave us not comfortless, we pray Thee, but come to us as Thou hast promised in Thy holy word. And may we prove Thee truth of that word, because I live, ye shall live also. O take us in Thy hands, we pray, and hold us firm. Be to us, gracious God, all we stand in need of. carry our burdens and enable us to roll them on thyself and look upon thy people in the pathway they walk, so thou seest all the needs of those who are gathered here tonight and knowest the solitary and the lonely and the powers of darkness and the temptations and the need of much upholding mercy. O gracious God, grant it. May there be a proving of the reality of the arms underneath. Oh, may we learn well how to roll our burdens upon thee. For they have come to us from thy hand. There is not a single shaft can hit till the God of love sees fit. And the crosses that are here this night of thy giving. But oh, may we be enabled to take that yoke upon us which thou hast given to us and learn of thee. May we know the blessedness of the truth that happy is he that the God of Jacob is held, whose hope is in the Lord his God. Oh, may our hope be fixed upon thyself, Lord Jesus Christ. Grant prosperity here and building up as to be thy divine will. Oh, bless thy servants as they come into this sanctuary of God and labour in thy holy name. Grant to them a door of utterance, be to them each mouth, matter and wisdom. Grant them sweet liberty in proclaiming thy word, set their tongue at liberty. And oh, grant, dear Lord, freedom. May thy holy word go forth and have free course and be glorified. May the cases of thy people be taken up and dealt with, sweetly handled, and may there be the work of the Spirit manifested once again in the churches. May there be raised up pillars in thy holy name, established in the truth in their youth, and may there be a following generation in this sanctuary of God, a work of thy Holy Spirit to building up. Gather others in from this village, Lord, thou art able to send forth the Holy Spirit into the hearts of thy dead elect and to grant a real living concern. Thou hast had a people in this village over many years and in the surrounding parts. O gracious God, we know not thy holy work. Thou hast commanded us not to despise the day of small things. Oh, how our hearts mourn because of the state of Zion. But gracious God, we would be deeply conscious of the value in thy sight of one immortal soul. And we pray that the accumulated prayers of former generations now with thee in glory that have risen to thee on behalf of this people here may be sweetly heard and answered, and may be raised up following generation. Look upon the prodigals who have wandered from the house of God. We pray for them. Gracious God, manifest forth thy glory, the bringing of prodigals into the house of God. Oh, dear Lord, we lay this solemn burden before thee and pray that thou glorify thy name and bring many who have wandered from our churches by almighty power, bring them back and grant that may be a sweet joy and rejoicing. Lord, it is a power which is thine. And we know thou art able to do it. A sinner shall die 100 years old. And Lord, we desire that thou wilt gather thy children home, even in great old age, and bring them into the sanctuary of God, and manifest forth thy divine power, and grant that may be heard from their lips the sweet testimony of what thou hast done for their soul. Grant the gracious in gathering in this church and people here. Oh, build them up in the house of prayer. Come and move and work in the midst. Come, Lord, and grant that there may be a divine work of the Spirit, first the blade, and then the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. And Lord, we pray for such a spiritual harvest, and that there may be a gracious work and a movement of thy Spirit in the sanctuary of God here. Look down, we pray thee, upon all in sickness and affliction, those of thy dear people, our dear friends, who are walking in solemn paths of weakness and physical declension, bearing about thorns in the flesh, solemn reminders of mortality. Be with our dear brother, thy servant, the deacon at Studley, and remember him, Lord, this night. Oh, look down and grant to him the sweet peace of God which passeth all understanding. Touch his dear heart. Be with him and his partner and loved ones and his church. And look down, gracious God, and grant that in this pathway there may be a blessing in it for himself and the people, and there may be a sweet manifestation of thy work yet in the little sanctuary of God at Studley, upon all the churches and thy servants as they go from place to place. Dear Lord, in these solemn days in the nation when there is such absolute godlessness, and thy judgments are abroad in the land on every hand, and daily we become aware of fresh judgments, and thy wrath and anger upon us, and the solemn entanglements of this nation with the Roman Catholic powers of Europe, and all the deep darkness and death, and the solemn love of money and the love of pleasure, O gracious God, and the departure from thy law and thy truth and thy word and thy day, we sigh and cry, thou knowest constantly. O grant, dear Lord, a turning of the vast tides of iniquity and death, and of thy judgment, that it could be thy divine will, and bring this nation to a national repentance. It could be thy dear will. Turn us again, and we shall return. Rend the heavens, O Lord, and come down. Come and grant a mighty revival in this land. O, may there be a work of thy Holy Spirit yet sweetly manifested. May there be a gracious gathering out and gathering in of thy dead elect. Look down, we pray thee, upon the nation thou seest all things. And Lord, we pray for the remnant in the land, in the nation, thou wouldst give them grace to stand in these solemn times. Raise up God-fearing men in the affairs of state, that it could be thy divine will, men of uprightness and moral character, that there may yet be, dear Lord, raised up godly leaders upon the throne. Be with the Queen at this time, and heir to the throne, thou seest the vast iniquity, the solemn shame and degradation that surrounds the monarchy. Lord, we pray that Thou would look down in thy rich mercy and come and appear and preserve to us our Protestant heritage and constitution of this land. Thy hand has gone out against us. And Lord, we see in every sphere of life that there is a great shaking of the foundations in the state and a great declension, solemn falling away. But Lord, we pray that thou have looked down upon thy people and enable them to stand, and having done all to stand. Look upon us now, Lord, this night, as we look to thee, to fill an earthen vessel and touch our lips once again to that live coal from thy heavenly altar. For, Lord, we need that constant, fresh anointing oil of thy Spirit to flow over our soul as we come to preach thy holy word. Grant the unction and dew of thy Spirit to rest upon our spirit. Feed the flock of slaughter. We pray thee and use thy holy word to thine honour and glory. May it have free course. May thy word be glorified. The Lord, we lay all before thee and see thy gracious help and presence this night. If we gather a few in thy holy name, lead us into thy word of truth. Open it up to our hearts, we pray thee. Touch the hearts of those who are gathered and use it to thine own honour and glory, as we would ask every divine mercy and favour with the pardon of every sin. For Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 538 to 111. The gospel is good news indeed to sinners deep in debt. The man who has no work to please, your thanks will be for it. In 528 to 111.
Thank you.
Direct your attention this evening to the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, and reading verses 18 and 19. Gospel according to John, chapter 14, and reading verses 18 and 19. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you, yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. But ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. These words are the words of Christ, who spake as never man spake. They are the words of a Saviour who lives today in heaven, who has walked this earth, ascended to glory, and now lives to hear the prayers of his people who come to God by him. No different is his dealing in his church today what it was when he spoke these words. I mean by that simply this, that the same blessed divine principles of salvation regarding his finished work applied to his disciples, and they apply to us. If ever we are to reach glory and be with him away from this world of sorrow, darkness and temptation, we shall need the same teaching and have the same glorious sight that is spoken of here. We shall need the same precious truth laid firmly in our hearts, because I live, you shall live also. The Lord Jesus speaks in this chapter of life and death and heaven. And he speaks of his work in relationship to it, in the gathering of his dear people home. It is a wonder of wonders that in the whole vast concourse of that number which no man can number, he is able to deal with each case individually and meet out the needs and blessings to each case here. One of the principles that is manifest here is that he was willing to listen to one disciple's question and answer it for one. And similarly, he is today willing to listen to one disciple's prayers and answer it for one. Not one of the children of his family are ever outside of his care, and as they walk this earth with their differing prayers and cries coming up to him and their differing needs and oppressions and sorrows, he is aware of each one in the moment of his greatest need and suffering and sorrow. And he knows, said one dear man, the way that I take, and that is marvellous, that he should know the way that every one of his dear people take at the time they're taking it. Not later, he knows it before, and he knows the way they're going to enter into, and he has promised to comfort them. If I may speak reverently, not half an hour afterwards, but at the time they need it, when most we need his helping hand, this friend is always near. When they feel they cannot endure any more, and when they feel the darkness is unbearable, he knows, he understands, and he draws near. And so he has promised here to his people, and this is not a general word. God's dealings with his people are of a particular character. They are personal, special, individual, given forever, spoken into the hearts of his dear people, not taken but given, that is, applied, revealed, applied with divine power, such that they will never be taken away. They're like the scars on our body, which perhaps came there when we were young, and they'll remain until our bodies are laid in the grave. And so the promises of God spoken to his dear people are like that. They're eternal. They're marks in their heart. They're applied with divine power. They're given to them. And they're given with a purpose that they may be pleaded and they may be used, as Jacob used his staff to lean upon. They're to be leant upon in times of trial and affliction, and peculiarly in the hour and hour of death. They are given, spoken. And so God deals with each one of his dear church. And we see here in our chapter here tonight that there were some questions which they asked these dear disciples. Thomas, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Philip, Lord, show us the Father. Judas, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? And they sat there, as it were, questioning the Lord. And he began to answer them and to teach them and to reveal his manner of working in their heart. And it is simple, blessedly simple. And so we have in our text this lovely word, I will not leave you comfortless, that is, as the margin reads, orphans, I will come to you. After his resurrection and after his ascension. When he was gone into heaven, he promised his disciples he would not leave them alone, comfortless. The meaning of that very simply being that without him, without his presence, felt and known in their hearts, they would be comfortless. They'd be without comfort. Oh, how many are the days in life's journey in which we are comforted when the Lord is absent. How few are the places and times and moments when we really know his sweet comfort, his approbation, his presence with us, his love felt and known in our hearts. He goes on to speak in this chapter of what it would be to feel him. We will come unto you and make our abode with you. That is Christ and his Father. They would know the Lord's presence with them. He would come and be near them. His ear would always be open unto their cry. But he would come. And what a truth it is. Do you know it? When the Lord Jesus comes with power in your heart, how often have you known him come to you in your pathway in life? I suggest to you this, and I don't believe there's anything wrong in this whatsoever. In fact, I think it is of great value that when the Lord comes, you make a note of it. Recording. You won't forget it if the Lord comes to you with great power and speaks into your soul a word, or if he drops a whisper into your heart, or if he comes with a precious promise, or if you have a sweet time under the preaching of his holy word, or if under the singing of his praises, or in the opening of the word of God, in the reading of his word, or in walking alone perhaps in the countryside, or maybe in the busy scenes of life's pathway, maybe even in the hub and din and noise of a great city, if the Lord comes to you, you'll know his presence. Generally speaking, he comes to his people in the hours of their greatest need, and they feel his presence, as I said at the beginning, no different today to what it's ever been in the Church of God in all its history, from Adam down to the end of time. The Lord has come again and again in the life of his dear people, and his visits have been like the milestones on the journey of life's pathway, and they've often longed to reach the next milestone when he comes again with great power and speaks into their heart. Well, here he has promised to his dear church that he won't leave them comfortless. He doesn't say when or how often he will come, but he promises them that he will come. Generally speaking, he comes unexpectedly. Generally speaking, he comes in the time when he considers it a time of greatest need in their pathway. But when he comes, those soul visits are never to be forgotten. Never can be forgotten. The sweet, refreshing presence of their God, sometimes it lasts an hour, maybe less, sometimes a day, sometimes a week, very rarely longer. The Lord's presence is known and felt, but when He comes, there is something very special about Him. It is His purpose to strengthen His people, and as it says in the margin, not to leave them orphans, alone, without father or mother, without home or health. And God's dear people long to know His gracious presence, and they mark the spots and the places where He has come to them and visited their souls. If you look back over your life tonight, where has He come and fulfilled this word in your experience? When did He come? How did He come? What was it that you knew and felt? I dare to suggest to you it's this, that you were lifted out of your darkness miraculously, that the clouds were moved away. Not necessarily the trial you were passing through, but the great clouds of unbelief and fear and doubt and temptation. And you were able to take up your cross. You were given strength to do it. You were able, by faith given to you in that moment, to rest in Christ. Your clouds lifted. The Lord spoke a word, and there was peace in your heart. There was deliverance, not necessarily out of what you were passing through, but out of the unbearable nature of the pathway. And you were enabled to continue. You were strengthened, as we read in the scriptures, with all might in the inner man. Faith was strengthened to anchor in God. A sweet realization was given that He cared, and that He knew, and that He understood. The old godly saints of years gone by used to speak, and you can read of it in the obituaries and the old gospel standards, of a lift. Lifted out of the mire of unbelief. Lifted out of the darkness of conviction and guilt. And when the Lord comes, He comes with sweet reconciliation and peace and pardon into the heart, and there is comfort. His presence is known. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you orphans. When the Lord comes, He comes in the blessedness of the truth of the atonement, reconciliation, peace. This is what He comes with. He comes to speak peace into the hearts of His dear people. His approbation, His fatherhood over them. Oh, to know that He is their God and they are His children. There is so much bound up in one soul visit. It is the seal of eternity. It is the gracious lifting up in the affliction in its present form. And it is the approbation of God in the heart. Oh, how blessed is this promise in the sweetness of it. The child of God is enabled to roll their burden upon God. What those burdens are is known to God. They are different in each one of our lives, and ever must it be the case that the thorn in the flesh and the cross, which each one of God's dear children carry, the weakness which He has given, is different. Different in every case. Completely different. Unique to us individually. Sometimes God's dear children are carrying two or three thorns in the flesh. You will find this, that You will not get any relief by trying to look for sympathy elsewhere. That is not relief. You will not get any relief by fretting under your thorn in the flesh. That is not the avenue to relief. It's like the yoke. If we fret under it, we only make our shoulders sore. The way that the Lord works is that he calls his dear people to look to him for strength and grace and faith to endure. What he wants them to do is to bring their affliction to him, to cast their burden upon him. And what he has promised is that his grace is sufficient for them. He wants them and desires that they take that burden daily to the Lord. They're not going to get a supply of strength. For more than one day, the manna only fell and was used and useless otherwise, except for that one 24 hours. And so it is with God's grace. His grace is daily grace, and that's how he meets it out. He desires that his people come daily to the fountain of his strength and his presence, and to pour out their trials before him, and to seek for what he has promised. My grace is sufficient for thee. And the wisdom that he gives them is what he gave to Paul. Most gladly therefore will I glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. For when I am weak, then am I strong. It is that out of weakness was made strong. God's dear church is a weak people, a poor people, a needy people, a tempted people, a tried people. It's to such feelingly sinful people, in the depth of it, that this word goes, I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. And the greatest comfort that you can ever receive is not solely his presence. That is a vast comfort when the Lord draws near. But the great comfort is this, his peace-speaking blood. Oh, here is the comfort of the Church of Christ. The blood of Christ is her comfort, her greatest comfort. Here is the reconciliation between her soul and her God, and one drop of that fountain open for sin and uncleanness is her comfort. And when the Lord comes, he does not come without his treasure, which he gives to his people. He comes to give it to them. And it may be in the singing of his praises, maybe in the preaching of his holy word, maybe on your knees by your bedside, maybe walking a great city alone, maybe stood in the fields of the countryside alone. The Lord comes, and it is the experience of all his church in life as they go on and on to have these milestones. Mark the spots and the places where he has come to them and where he has dealt with them. They carry a striking similarity, these experiences to when he first called them out of nature's darkness. They are the voice of their God heard as Elijah knew it in the cave. The still small voice of their God. And when we hear it, we know it. It doesn't come often. And when he speaks, there's a gentle power and authority and a sweetness and a savour, and the word remains. distinguished that from the solemn religion which is very prevalent today, and which the editor of the Gospel Standard wrote about in August in the Friendly Companion, and very wisely wrote about. Of every word that drops into people's minds and every thought that comes into their heart, like these poor charismatics who think they're in constant daily communication with their God, from every word they think they've heard. And so they walk out of the chapel and they're told whether to turn left or right, and so on. I don't make a mock of it, but it's solemn. There is a voice of God. Satan comes as a great angel of light, solemn counterfeit, and it's in our churches. It's all over the place. And solemnly so, I believe this, you know, that God's dear children, when they long for direction from the Lord, and perhaps you have a pathway even now where you have a decision to make and you don't know what to do, and you've prayed and prayed and you can get no answer. One moment you think one thing and the next you don't know what to do. And that's about like many of God's dear children. They want a definite word from the Lord that will settle the matter. And often it's this: sit still, my daughter, till they see how the matter will fall. There's a lovely word in the Proverbs, and it's this: commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Thou shalt hear a word behind thee, not before thee, afterwards, confirming the venture of faith, saying, this is the way, walk ye in. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. How solemn it is. I'll come to you. The Lord said he'd come. And we do. God's dear children are tender-hearted people, and they want guidance. They have an exercise. They want a lead. They have a leading. And they want to know the Lord. And there are vital steps. It may be down into the waters of baptism and to the Lord's table, and they want a clear confirmation. And they're like Gideon. They come and ask for the fleece wet and the fleece dry. And they lay it before the Lord and ask him to lead them in the matter and make it clear. It's not like some of these solemn cases we hear of where there's a baptism. We've heard of this in strict Baptist chapels, as a baptism, and the minister, when he's baptized, and says there's still room, would anyone else like to be baptized? And somebody comes forward, baptized on the spur of the moment. How solemn. How, when we watch these things, you know, I'll come to you. Oh, when the Lord says he'll come, he gives grace. He gives wisdom. Oh, he does. When he comes and he draws near, he guides his people. He holds them. He keeps them. He does not leave them to folly and foolishness and deception and darkness and blindness. But he comes and he gives them grace and he gives them wisdom. He doesn't leave them orphaned of wisdom, orphaned of grace. No, he doesn't. He comes and he gives them sweet help, strength to rest in himself. And you know, when the time is ready, he will say to them, my heart is between two opinions, whether you will serve God or man. Here is the commandment, as he taught his dear disciples. And the answer to these questions was so simple. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself unto him. All the love of Christ that is spoken of there, I'll come to you. I'll manifest my love in your heart and give you that love by which you will obey my commandments. I will not leave you comfortless. I will not leave you without my love. I'll come and speak into your heart, gracious commandment, and give you love to obey my commandments. You may have hesitated and hesitated and hesitated, not knowing which to turn or what to do. The Lord touches your heart with his love. He says, with sweet and heavenly commandment, if you love me, keep my commandments. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. I'll lead you in those paths of obedience, in love, and enable you to follow me and bring you to the table which I have instituted in the church of God of my house, into my heavenly commandments. It won't be a matter that you have decided to come. It won't be a matter that you have thought it was now time you ought to come. There'll be no ought. All the blessedness of the words of the Lord Jesus, the reality, the life, the power in them. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. Well, as he spoke there, there came a time when the world saw him no more. They saw him in his lifetime as he walked this earth, when he was gone and risen to heaven in glory. And he speaks of this sacred principle, when he was at the right hand of the Father, interceding on behalf of his church, ye see me. No different today. His dear church, when under the enabling of his Spirit in faith, they view him by faith in heaven as that God who lives. He is to them a glorious reality. His presence. Have you known this in the sanctuary of God, when the Lord has blessed your soul with a sweet sense of his love, when he's spoken a word in your heart, you become aware that he lives. That as we sing in that lovely hymn, the Saviour lives, no more to die. He lives, the Lord enthroned on high. You see, life is a reality. Death is a reality. Eternity is a reality. Heaven is a reality. Hell is a reality. Jesus is a reality. Satan is a reality. There are solemn realities. I might go on in these realities. It will be a solemn reality, the day of judgment, when this world will depart on fire. And men's search into God's handiwork called science will be ended. And there will be no time for godless men to look blindly into the work of God and fail to come up with the right answer as they spend their time getting their doctoral theses, trying to determine how God has worked in this world. How mysterious it all is. There is a wisdom which far exceeds all them. Because I live, ye shall live also. Not many wise. Not many noble. For God has chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith. Oh, what a pathway he has chosen to bring them through. The glory. And he has chosen, here he has determined to bring them to heaven. He's not going to leave them in this world comfortless. He's going to take them to the eternal comforts of glory, into His presence. There'll be no more mortality, no more sin, no more sorrow, no more darkness, no more death. But through the work, His own work, He has determined He will bring them safely home. And yet little while, and the world seeth Me no more. But ye see Me. Never was He going to leave them alone. And then He adds this precious promise, because I live, ye shall live also. That is in heaven, in eternity to come. Because He is that same Jesus, as He revealed Himself in heaven to John, I am He that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive for evermore, and hold the keys of heaven and of death. Because I live. Because I have conquered the grave. Because I am risen and ascended to My Father. Because I plead the fruits of My sacrifice upon the cross before the throne in heaven. That sacrifice of divine efficacy and power that takes away sin, removes guilt and condemnation. Because of that, because I'm in heaven interceding, you'll come there too and live eternally. But in this world you shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And generally speaking, the tribulation of God's dear church is greater and darker and deeper to the end of the journey. But the Lord has promised to take His church out of it. Not leave them in it. I'll come to you. And so in the opening of this lovely chapter, we have the coming in the hour and article of death. My Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto Myself. And as the Lord goes on to speak, that where I am, there ye may be also. I will not leave you comfortless. I'll come to you. Come to you in a dying hour and be with you on a dying bed. This is His faithfulness of a covenant-keeping God, that He'll never leave His church in any pathway. You've proved Him already. You have many occasions in life's journey in which He has come to you. He'll come to you all your journeys through. There may be long intervals. It is good to write it down. Keep a record of those sacred visits. Tell it to the generation following. It is for the comfort of God's dear church when they are in a low, dark place to turn. And often when poor memory fails, to turn and look back over those many places in which the Lord has come to you in life's journey. The sweet promises which can never be forgotten, but often other places which lesser places, not lesser in degree necessarily, but lesser perhaps to be remembered, but they're still sacred milestones in the journey. And when written down and read through, what a comfort to remember, and yet not to be relied upon. God's dear church want fresh visits, fresh blessing. Like the poor Arminian who gives his soul to the Lord in his youth and never has another visit. Child of God wants sacred comforts down to a dying hour and desires fresh token and fresh blessing. Because I live, ye shall live also. It is a precious promise for life and for death. It is indeed. And oh, what a blessed mercy if we have such a God to go to. And if he has given to us such, as Peter says, precious promises. Oh, what a mercy if we have such precious promises indelibly written in our hearts, and we can look to him as that giver of every good and perfect gift. Amen.
In 135 to 7, as sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear, it soothes his sorrow, heals his wound, and drives away his fear.
Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion of the Holy Spirit, abide with you each. Amen.